Welcome. I'm Dr. Gloria Bachman, and this podcast will be addressing the postmenopausal patient and her coming in for screening in your office. I am a professor of obstetrics and gynecology at Robert Wood Johnson Medical School, and I'm here with two colleagues, Dr. Jeff Levine and Dr. Nancy Phillips. Dr. Levine, do you please introduce yourself?
Yes, hi everybody. I'm Dr. Jeff Levine. I'm professor and director of reproductive and gender health programs in the Department of Family Medicine and Community Health here at Rutgers Robert Wood Johnson Medical School.
And I'm Dr. Nancy Phillips. I am a professor in the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology and director for the Center of Vulval Vaginal Disorders at the Rutgers Robert Wood Johnson Medical School.
And to best address many of the issues that all clinicians encounter when they're talking with their postmenopausal patients, we will be doing a role-playing enactment of a postmenopausal patient coming in to see her clinician. Dr. Levine will be the clinician, and Dr. Phillips will be the patient, Betty Sullivan. So, Dr. Levine?
Hi, Ms.
Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Ms. Sullivan. It's so nice to see you again.
Hi, Dr. Levine. How are you?
Great. So, how can I help you today?
Dr. Levine, you've known me for a long time, but I'm a mess. I'm hot, I'm sweaty, I'm sad, I cry. I just don't know what to do with myself.
Well, first of all, I'm really glad you came to see me. And I want you to know that these are very common symptoms that a lot of my patients go through. And I think to best help you, I'm going to ask some questions that might help me sort out what the underlying reason for that. Is that okay?
Oh, please.
So I see that you're 54 now, and the last time I saw you, you were still getting your periods pretty regularly. Has that changed at all?
It has. In fact, I think I probably only had one since last time I saw you, and I know I'm a little bit overdue, so it's been about a year and a half. I did get your letter to come in that I was due for a visit, so thanks for prompting me in here. But yeah, I think it stopped shortly after I saw you last time.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is you haven't had a period. Sounds like it's been more than a year. Any spotting at all during that time?
I think the first month afterwards I spotted, but absolutely nothing since.
Okay. And I heard you say, you know, that you're a mess, and but that you mentioned some symptoms. Are you getting some hot flushes at all, or feeling sweats, like, you know, almost like you have to open the window at night, or feeling very wet, despite, you know, everything else being dry?
Yes, I feel uncomfortable in my body. I don't know what it's going to do, if it's going to be hot, if I'm going to have chills. It's embarrassing when I'm in a group. I don't want to go out. I feel like I just need to sit home and put clothes on and off.
I'm so sorry to hear that. How often would you say this happens?
Several times a day, and nighttime is even worse.
Do you find that it affects your sleep at all?
I'm not sleeping. I'm grouchy. I'm sad. I just don't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable in my body, and I feel like it's just out of control.
So when you say you're sad, can you be a little more specific? Is that once in a while? Has that been going on for a while? Or
no, I mean, it's getting worse, I think, with time. You know, like I said, sometimes I'm embarrassed to go out. I don't feel as interested. You know, I used to be in a pickle ball league, and I don't feel like going. I don't feel like meeting my friends for lunch or to play mahjong. And at work, I feel less productive. Yeah, it's not good.
How long would you say that's been going on? Like not enjoying doing those things that you usually enjoy?
At least 6 months.
And how is your husband doing?
He's okay. He's, you know, he's good. And he's getting frustrated with me. I don't feel like having sex anymore. I have very little desire. He feels like he has to force me, and I feel bad because I'm making him feel bad. I just think, is this how it's going to be?
Well, I think there are things that we can do to help you. I just want to ask you a few more questions because I think that might help me to better understand what might be causing this. You said that you haven't really had as much interest in sex, but have you been having sex at all?
We've been trying. It's a little bit painful, even with a lubricant.
And when you do have sex, are you able to have an orgasm?
With some work.
Okay. But that's a change, you think, over the last what period of time?
I think it's a change over, year and a half.
So what I'm hearing is that you've noticed a lot of changes in your mood, you know, crying for no reason, that you've been feeling depressed and you haven't felt like doing some of the things that you usually do or enjoy doing, that you've been having almost incapacitating these hot flushes and night sweats. They're actually impairing your sleep and your ability to function, and that you've noticed a change in both sexual interest and it's been more painful or dry when you do try to have sex. Does that sound accurate?
It does. And when you put it all together, it makes me almost feel embarrassed that I haven't come here sooner.
Well, listen, I cannot tell you how many patients I think suffer and never come to their provider. So I'm really glad that you did, because I think I can help you. Have you tried anything for these symptoms?
My friends told me about, black cohosh, and I tried that, but it didn't seem to do anything. And I saw some things on the internet, and some of them I tried. Most of them I ordered, and then I was afraid to try them because I didn't really feel safe with them. So no, I basically, carry around a little fan and try to do the best I can.
All right. And I noticed from my records that you never had a history of depression in the past. Is that accurate?
No, I haven't.
And currently, I know you're having so many symptoms, but do you find that you have issues with leaking urine when you cough or laugh?
No, I don't leak. I go more often, but I drink a lot of water.
Okay, but you don't find that you have to get out of bed or that you have to make it to the bathroom as soon as you get to a place, anything like that?
No, sometimes, but not that I've noticed to be a big problem.
Well, first of all, I want to reassure you that a lot of the symptoms you have are very common for somebody, not only your age, but somebody who hasn't had a period in over a year. But I would like to have my nurse come in and do a screening test called a PHQ-9. It's some questions I'm going to ask because I want to make sure that along with what I think is going on, that you're not having more significant symptoms of depression. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. And then I'm going to come back in. We're going to do an exam. And then, of course, I'm going to go over other things that I want to make sure we get addressed today. And then I'll talk to you about what I think is going on and how we could best manage it. Does that sound okay?
That sounds great. Thank you.
You're welcome. So I step out. I'm going to have my nurse perform a PHQ-9 because the patient revealed to me that she's having symptoms of depressed mood and lack of interest, or anhedonia, that's been going on actually for several months. And for then, I certainly think doing a PHQ-9 is a nice standardized test, because what I want to find out, are these just mood changes because she's not sleeping from her bad hot flushes or night sweats, which can certainly lead to some mild depressive symptoms, or does she have major depression? Because it might change how I manage her. So we do it, and it actually comes back 16, which is major depression. Fortunately, she doesn't have any active or passive suicidal or homicidal ideations. I do an exam, and she does have some mild atrophic changes around the introitus and the vagina. And again, she was in for more of a primary care visit. I don't necessarily have to do the exam that day, And I don't have to do a more thorough exam because she's up to date in all her screenings, her pap smear, her mammograms, all up to date. But I did it because she's symptomatic, and I just wanted to make sure there was nothing else going on in that in her vulvar or opening of her vaginal area that may be different than what I expect is going on. So just a very quick exam helped me to demonstrate that it's consistent with some mild atrophic changes. So I go back in the room and I'm going to explain to Betty what I think is the cause of her symptoms and how we might be able to manage it. So Betty, you know, thank you for filling out that questionnaire because it's very helpful.
Dr. Levine, can I just, after filling out that questionnaire, I remembered something. After my second baby, I remember doing this test and feeling a little bit depressed then and maybe taking some medicine.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that in your records. Okay, wait, let's take a time out. I think that's great to bring out, but maybe we should make that if have Gloria ask if that were the scenario.
But I again, I know, I'm sorry I'm interrupting this, but this can be edited out,
right? For filling. So Betty, I want to thank you for filling out that questionnaire because it helps me to better understand what I think is going on. It's clear to me that, like many women who have not had a period for more than a year, and for many women, even when they're going through what's called perimenopause, where they still might be getting a period, to get what are called hot flushes or night sweats, or what we refer to them in general as vasomotor symptoms. Because what happens is, initially, you start getting fluctuations in a hormone called estradiol or estrogen, and parts of your brain that control your temperature and your blood vessels get starved for that hormone, and they react by causing these major changes in your skin and your core temperature that give you those symptoms. It often gets worse when you stop getting a period altogether because that's referred to as postmenopause or ovarian failure, where you're basically probably making very little, if any, of that estrogen hormone. And again, you're hypothalamus, that part of your brain that controls temperature, and your blood vessels get even more starved for that hormone. So that's actually very common. Also, the fact that it often can interfere with your sleep and make you very irritable and give you a lot of symptoms consistent with depression. The thing that concerns me is the degree of depression that you have. And for that reason, I think what I would like to recommend is something called an SSRI or SNRI. And these are medications that we commonly use for patients like yourself who are having significant depression. Not only are they very helpful at treating these symptoms, even though I think that this is probably hormonally related, it also tends to help a lot of my patients like yourself who are having these vasomotor symptoms, these hot flushes and night sweats. So I think by trying this medicine, it may help several of those symptoms. Do you have any questions for me about that?
Do I have to take them forever?
Well, usually what I find is many patients like yourself, over time, their body starvation for that hormone calms down, those receptors calm down, and those symptoms abate, including the mood symptoms. So no. Very often, you know, after a year or so, we can reevaluate and try to see about lowering and even stopping those medicines. So very often, especially someone like you who've never had a history of depression, I find we are able, sometimes a year, sometimes longer, are able to eventually get you off of the medication.
Okay.
I also, even though I do think that overwhelmingly this is related to hormonal changes, I still find that sometimes it helps to speak to a therapist, and they often will do something called cognitive behavioral therapy. They're not going to ask if you were breastfed or about your past lives. What they do is try to help you with tools on how to better deal with stress, because a lot of times when you're having these menopausal symptoms, things that usually in the past you would have dealt with very easily become magnified and harder to deal with. So I do find that in addition to medication, even though it doesn't sound like there's anything else causing your depression in terms of life changes, it might be helpful.
I'm not crazy about taking medicine, but I like the idea of a therapist, but I need to do something. So if this is what you think is best, this is what I'll do.
Yeah, I think for a lot of my patients who have depression, where clearly there's situations or how they're dealing with stress, medicine alone is not the cure. It's a tool. And even for someone like you, I think this is a tool. I think there are other things that I would recommend. I think wearing cool cotton clothing, drinking cool beverages. I think relaxation techniques that involve what's called pace breathing, like yoga or Tai Chi. Those have all been found to not only help these hot flushes and night sweats, but help you with your mood as well. So I would certainly recommend that we look at things holistically, not just medicine, but because I think there is a change going on in chemicals in your body, that I think using a medication like this is probably the best way to help with your symptoms. I will say that in several of my patients, it helps a lot with mood, but sometimes their hot flushes and night sweats will persist. And what I want to do is I'll bring you back in a month or so, because very often we'll see an improvement in mood. And if not, we can make an adjustment in your medicine. But if your mood improves, but your hot flushes, night sweats persist, then we could talk about adding other types of therapy that might help those more directly.
Okay. It's a little bit hard for me to get another day off of work. Can you call me in a month? Can we do something different?
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because now that I had a chance to examine you and the rest of your exam was completely normal, and you're really not due for any other tests, what we could do is we can arrange for something called a telemedicine visit, and I could see you virtually. You can even do it from work as long as you could find a private place to talk. It's really not necessary for you to physically come in unless you develop any worsening physical symptoms or you start developing any bleeding or anything that would require me to do a in-person exam. Would that be more feasible for you?
That sounds perfect. Thank you.
Okay, so a couple of other things. I do find that for many of my patients, because you do have some mild changes in your vagina that are probably due to that lack of estrogen, and yours is only mild, but a lot of times you're not able to generate your own moisture, using a water-based lubricant, even things just like KY jelly, or some patients use something like Uberlube, which is a silicone lubricant, are often very helpful in alleviating that dryness and discomfort when you have sex with your partner. Trying more foreplay, trying different positions, I can write a script to make sure that you know you have permission to do those things, I think would help as well.
Okay, I will try. We have been trying some lubricants, but I'll try something different.
And just to reassure you, if you come back and your other symptoms are all better, but you're still having some dryness or pain with intercourse, there are local estrogens that we can try that often work. They take more time. And I think for a patient like you, they might not be necessary yet, but it is something we can certainly consider. So I want you to understand every patient responds differently. Some patients do great after I start this medication after a month. Some take longer. Sometimes we have to adjust the medicine. And for some, their mood symptoms improve, but they're still having the hot flushes and night sweats. I want you to know there are hormonal therapies that I can provide that will help those symptoms. And again, if everything else gets better, but you're still having some discomfort with sex, I want you to know there are other things that we can try.
Okay, thank you. I feel much better knowing that we have a plan and there are options, and I'm glad I came.
All right. Well, I'm going to set you up to follow up with me in a month, and we're going to do that virtually. But please, if any symptoms worsen, I want you to feel free to contact me right away. Okay?
I will. Thank you.
So this is Dr. Bachman. The patient returns in 1 month to see Dr. Levine. And this is what she reports to Dr. Levine after 1 month on her telemedicine visit.
Dr. Levine, I feel like a new person. I am back in my pickleball, and I've met with my friends, and I'm feeling really good. I don't feel as depressed, but I'm still getting those sweats. They're still bothering me during the day and worse at night. I think I may need a little bit more help. And I did try some of those lubricants, and they're good, but they're not as good as I wish they could be.
All right. Well, thank you. That's such helpful information. First of all, I'm so glad, though, that your mood symptoms are much improved. And thanks again for filling out that questionnaire. You know, last time I told you, you scored a 16, which was consistent with major depressive disorder. And now you're down to a 4. And again, I don't like to just use forms. I like to talk more to the patient. But the fact that you're going out and playing pickleball, so I know maybe next time I'll see you on the court and I'll take you on. You got to be nice to your doctor, though. That, you know, those are better. But, you know, it's not uncommon that patients who use these medications, they still get some of these hot flushes and night sweats. So we have a couple options. We could wait another month and see if another month they improve. I could up the SSRI dose of the medication I prescribe, but I'd rather not do that because it seems to be doing very well at the dose I prescribed for treating the major issue that I was concerned about, and that's your depression. So one other thing we could do is I can add a very low dose of estradiol. Remember, that's the hormone I told you that your body is lacking now because your ovaries aren't making it anymore because they're just not functioning because of menopause. And we can try that because you still have your uterus. I would have to add another medicine to kind of protect the uterus being on the estrogen. But in a very low dose, that might help. If you find that these hot flushes and night sweats are still bothering you enough that you'd like additional treatment.
I do. I think I need something more.
Okay, so we're going to do this. They tend to be very safe. There are very low risks for blood clots, but you don't have risk factors for that. There are very rare risks. You'll hear about things like breast cancer, but for someone you who's early in menopause, it's only been about a year or so, who's otherwise healthy, you get screened regularly, especially patients who are less than 10 years of menopause, and we're probably not going to need to use this, like I said, for very long. Many of my patients after a year, 2 years, certainly less than 4 years, most of my patients were able to stop this medication. I think the benefit far outweighs the risk. So I would like to prescribe that if that's okay.
I'm willing to try that.
Many times using the hormone, not only does it help those hot flushes and night sweats, but it might help help regenerate the lining of your vagina that is leading to the dryness. That often takes longer. So I would recommend we try this, but I do want you to know that if you find that this helps your hot flushes and night sweats, but in another few months, you're still having that dryness, I can add a local estrogen and that won't sort of multiply the effect of what you're taking in the patch. It'll work mostly just in the vagina. It again might take several weeks to work, but I just want you to know that's something we can add. If you'd like, we could do that now, but personally, I like to add one thing at a time just because maybe it won't be necessary if we try this first.
Okay, that sounds okay. You remember that my grandmother, maybe it was my great grandmother, had breast cancer. She was about 70. Should I worry about that?
So look, the number one risk for developing breast cancer is age. And as you get older, your risk goes up. And that's why we're going to continue to do your mammograms at least every 2 years. And I think that's the most effective way to pick up breast cancer very early. I think you're eating healthy, your weight is normal. And I think all those things are going to help reduce your risk for developing breast cancer. I think, again, using these very low doses of estrogen are not going to significantly increase your risk. When you look at major studies, especially someone as young as you, as early in menopause, and because I don't think we're going to need to certainly not use these for more than a few years, I don't think that's going to be a concern. Also, the fact that your grandmother was over 50. She's not a first degree relative. You're still considered average risk. So it wouldn't change either how often I recommend you get screened for breast cancer, and certainly wouldn't change me offering you this hormone therapy. Don't think in any way that history is going to change my recommendation, and certainly not increase your risk for breast cancer. But we still need to be vigilant regardless in terms of you getting your regular mammogram screening.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So after that encounter, Dr. Levine tells the patient that she should come back in 1 to 3 months to be sure that the vasomotor symptoms have improved and to be sure that the vaginal dryness and obviously painful sexual intercourse improves despite the lubricant. And this does occur through a telemedicine visit. And at that point, we could pick it up at that point. Dr. Levine, you want to just give the remarks to the patient regarding there's still some discomfort with sexual exchange.
So Betty, it's good to see you again. And again, I'm so pleased to hear that your mood continues to have improved on the medication, and that adding the estrogen patch seems to have significantly improved your hot flushes and night sweats. Is that accurate?
Yes, I feel great.
But the one thing I do see that my nurse noted is that you still seem to be having some sensation of dryness and discomfort with sex. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's just not where I'm happy with it.
And is this all the time? Is this sometimes?
It's most of the time, but I feel better and I have more desire and I feel like things are going really well. I just feel like, you know, a little bit more lubrication would be helpful.
So, and I do understand that you actually tried the silicone lubricant that I recommended.
I did.
And you and your partner does know what foreplay is and you're partaking?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
You have been more adventurous in trying different positions, and none of that has really alleviated this problem?
Correct.
Okay. So again, because you're doing so well on the medication for your depression, and because that even though I put you on a very low dose of that estrogen patch, it seems to have significantly improved your hot flushes and night sweats. I don't want to increase that dose because sometimes when you do that, it just adds more side effects. And as good as SSRIs are for your depression, it might also have been helping your hot flushes and night sweats. Sometimes when you increase the dose more, it actually can have a negative effect on your sexual ability to get aroused and have an orgasm. So I'd rather not do that. What I think would be best at this case, and I know I seem to be adding more and more medicines, but I want to do things that are more targeted, because if I could treat you with the lowest amount that gets to the benefit we want without adding more doses that might actually start causing negative side effects, what I'd like to do is try something called local vaginal estrogen. And what's nice about this is it tends to work where the problem is, and that is at your vagina. Because remember, with that lack of estrogen, your lining got very thinned out. And because of that, that's why you're having this irritation and your discomfort with sex and this dryness. And over time, using these local estrogens tend to be the most effective way to manage that. The good news is they're very safe. They have very little absorption, so it's not going to add to the effect of the estrogen patch that you have. But they tend to take a while, because unlike the hot flushes and night sweats, where all we had to do is satisfy those receptors by giving them the hormone that they were starved for, we have to kind of rebuild that lining that you lost in your vagina. So there are different ways we can give it. There are creams. They, I find, tend to work the fastest. We tend to use almost every night for several weeks, and then we'll go down to eventually you're only using it twice a week. Most of my patients like it because you can easily apply it. Some patients don't because it could be a little messy. There are little suppositories that you kind of almost inject into your vagina. They are a little tiny pill that dissolve. And then there's something called a ring that you can put in, and you kind of leave it for up to 3 months at a time. And because when I examined you, you don't have a lot of what's called prolapse, In other words, it doesn't look like you're not having a lot of those bad urinary symptoms associated with it. And because you are able to tolerate your partner's penis inside you, I think all three of those options are valid for you. It really comes down to what works best for you.
I think I like the idea of the little tablet. I don't think the cream's messy. I don't know that I need that much. And I just don't like the idea of that ring.
Okay. So I'm going to write your script. I'm going to go over with you how to use it properly. I want to remind you, we have to delay, you know, your expectations, unlike what worked with the SSRI and with the estrogen patch. This may take maybe 3 to 4 months to work. So I want you to be patient. But I think over time, this will help. But that doesn't eliminate the other things I want you to do in terms of using the lubrication, you know, participating in foreplay, trying different positions, because I think that combination eventually you're going to find really helps.
Okay. You haven't been wrong yet. So thank you.
I want to keep batting 1,000 and I don't want you to take it out on me on the pickleball court. So I see you back in about 3 months because I want to give it time to work. Obviously, if you're having some difficulty with it, you can reach out to me sooner. Does that sound okay?
Sounds perfect.
Okay, take care.
Well, this concludes a case scenario that is very common. I think it was handled in a most appropriate way, that as interventions were needed, as management was necessary, change in management, that it was done. And I want to thank both Drs. Levine and Dr. Phillips for the excellent role playing. Thank you.
Thank you, Gloria.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.